Regular meeting of the board of
I'm
Welcome to
opening.
the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Orange County Water District. Today is Wednesday, April 2nd. And as always, we'll start with a Pledge of Allegiance. And I'm going to ask Director Green to lead us this evening in the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the
United States of America and to
and to the Republic
the Republic
for
for which
which
it
it
stands,
stands,
one
one
nation.
nation.
Under
Under God,
God,
indivisible,
indivisible, with
with
liberty
liberty
and
and
justice
justice
for
for
all.
all.
Madam Clerk, if you can call the roll, please.
Roll call, Director Mezquia.
Present.
Director Bilodeau.
Present.
Director Green.
Here.
Director Jung.
Present.
Director Meeks.
Here.
Director Nguyen.
Here.
Director Sheldon.
He's approaching.
Here he is.
Director Tran.
Here.
Okay, Director Tran is participating as a guest. Director Wigand.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
Okay, you do have a quorum with nine directors present.
Great. Mr. General Manager, are there any items received too late to be agendized? Great. Now's the time for visitor participation. If anyone would like to address the board on items not listed on the agenda that are within the subject matter jurisdiction of this board, now would be the time. I have no speaker cards, and I see no one online that would like to address us at this point. So we will move on. Item number one is a public hearing on OCWD vacancies, recruitment, and retention efforts in compliance with AB 2561. And at this point, I will open the public hearing and I will call upon the general manager.
President Bilodeau, members of the board, this is a public hearing we're required to have before we consider our budget. And it's a new requirement based on a law passed in Sacramento last year. And it's a discussion of our staffing, vacancies, recruitment, and retention efforts. And Stephanie Dozier will give a presentation about it.
Great.
Great. Thank you, John. So this is the first public hearing that we will have to have under AB 2561. AB 2561 was adopted last year and it became effective January 1st, 2025. And what AB 2561 requires is that we do at least once a year hold a public hearing and report on the status of our vacancies, retention, recruitment efforts. And then when that has to be done before the next fiscal year's budget is adopted, which I know is going to be on the agenda for the 16th of April. It also requires that we allow the bargaining unit, in this case OCWDEA, to provide a presentation if they want to do so, although they have already let me know that they will not be doing a presentation tonight. And then, if the vacancies in the bargaining unit exceed 20%, then there's additional information that I would be presenting on the public hearing. Items such as total number of vacancies, number of applicants, average time to fill positions, et cetera. And as you might have seen in the packet, that rate is not over 20%. So I'm going to keep my presentation very short and simple. So first item is our vacancy information. So currently, and I used as of last week on Friday where our vacancies were, we have eight vacancies at the district, and we have 227 full-time employee headcount, full-time headcount, which our percentage of vacancies is 3.5%. The bargaining unit vacancy rate, which is really the one that drives the 20% number, is eight. We all positions that are vacant right now belong to the bargaining unit. And there's 194 budgeted full-time employees in the bargaining unit, which means that the percentage of vacancies is 4.1%. So again, as I mentioned, we're well below that 20% rate. Thank goodness, because that would be a lot of recruitment. So why are they open? So various reasons. We had three internal promotions recently, so that accounts for three of the positions, two retirements, one involuntary separation, one voluntary resignation, and we have a headcount that was added a while back for PFAS. It's still open that we're going to be recruiting for to fill a position there in the water quality group. So I've listed them here, and I just want to go through these and let you know where things stand. We do have a few changes since Friday, actually. So our maintenance technician position, we're in the final interview stage. I think that we'll have that completed by the end of this week, actually, and probably have a candidate that we're going to be making an offer to. Staff accountant, we're currently interviewing, so we're still working on that one. Communication specialist, it's pending an offer. We're down to the last piece in our background check on a candidate. So we hope that we may even have an offer made on that position by tomorrow or by Friday. Injection recharge system operator, it's pending. I reported it was pending an offer, but we've actually made an offer and it's been accepted. So we are starting the onboarding with that position, pre-employment physical, and then we'll be bringing that person on hopefully in the next month. Lead operator, that's newly vacant. We had a promotion, internal promotion, so we're going to be doing an internal recruitment for that to move somebody up into that role. Environmental specialist, that's in the water quality group, and we'll be posting that soon, I think. I think we've been talking about when we're going to post that. Relatively soon, that position will open up for recruiting. Oh, INE technician, I skipped that one. We're currently accepting applications. That's open for applications until the 9th of April. And the last one is a scientist in the R&D department that's temporarily on hold and being reviewed for recruitment. So I'm sure we'll have something with that probably in fairly short order. So we reviewed applicable policies, procedures, and recruitment activities to identify any potential obstacles, which is a requirement under AB 2561, and any obstacles in the hiring process. And we did not identify any. In fact, these recruitments that we're working on right now have been going very smoothly. So we've gotten plenty of applications, and the process has been going well. So I anticipate that those will continue to go well for us. And that is the end of my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Is there any questions from the board for Ms. Dozier at this point? Yes, sir.
So since we're not OSERS or we're not CalPERS, kind of in that process for those other agencies that do, there's like a period of time that folks tend to retire at, and then it kind of cycles through. Do we have cycles like that for us here, or is it kind of just sporadic when employees wish to retire, or is there a period of time of the year where there's kind of a blast of retirees that have filed for that?
Sure. Good question. I think our employees probably stay longer, really, than maybe a PERS or another agency where they have a full retirement at 55. But when we do see retirements, it's usually done in the first quarter of the year. So we usually see people go in like January, February, March. We had after COVID, we had a number of people retire. We had a significant number of employees that did retire, although it wasn't unexpected. I think they kind of delayed that until after, you know, things opened up and what have you. In 2024, for example, we had 7 retirements of our positions that were open in 2024. So 7 were retirements. Yeah. So it just depends, but it really, without having like a PERS or anything like that, I don't think there's a deadline for anybody. Yeah.
Great. Any other comments from the board?
Awesome is very prophetic. It's a Doge.
Is that a question or comment? Yes. Yeah, that's okay. Thank you for your comment. This is a public hearing. Would anyone like from the public like to address the board on this item? Before I close the public hearing, I wanted to acknowledge that we did receive a letter from OCEA on behalf of OCWDEA, and it was very complimentary of Ms. Dozier and her department's efforts to quickly fill recruitments, and we appreciate that recognition. So I ask that be put into the record. And at this point, I will close the public hearing. And is there a motion on this item? We have a motion, a second. Madam Clerk, if you'll call the roll.
Roll call, Director Amezcua?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Jung?
Aye.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Wigand?
Yes.
Director Yao?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 9 yes votes. Did we have any?
Mr. Chairman?
We had...
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
This is Van Tran. I know that I'm listed as a guest, but I did, in fact, list my address. So I'm not sure if... I should be able to vote, but I'm not sure why I'm listed as a guest.
I think Director Tran, that is for tomorrow's meeting, that your address is listed, not this evening's proceedings.
I thought I did. I'm not sure why it's not listed.
Yeah.
Tomorrow evening would not work. So can we double check on that, or I'll send a confirmation email.
I can double check. I could have sworn Director Tran said he wouldn't be attending tonight's meeting, but I can double check.
Okay, no problem. We'll check into that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, 12 noon Pacific is tomorrow's Communication Legislative Committee meeting.
Yeah, I will not be attending that.
Your list. Okay, you're listed on that one, but understood. Okay, thank you. That brings us to the consent calendar, which consists of items 2 through 4. Would anyone like to pull an item or present a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. If you call the roll, please.
Roll call. Director Mezqua?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Jung? Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Wigan?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries at 9 yes votes.
Thank you. That brings us to informational items. Item number 5 is the Stormwater Credit Program.
Yes, Mr. President. We have Keith Linker here from the city of Anaheim, and he's going to discuss a program they developed in Anaheim, a stormwater credit program. It's very timely because next week at Water Issues Committee, I want to talk to the committee about the district potentially creating a program like this. So we want to see how successful Anaheim has been and what it has taken for Anaheim to create a program like this. Also, Keith is going to talk about a specific project, the Chantilly Storm Drain. That's a storm drain that outletted into our former Ball Road Basin, recharge basin. That's the recharge basin we sold. But there's a potential program there we could partner with the city that would help us get more water into the ground. So I wanted to tee that up. And
great.
Keith, go ahead.
Yeah. There we are.
Thank goodness we have IT here. I need that everywhere I go. Let me start again. Thank you, Director Kennedy, or Mr. Kennedy, for the introduction. Thank you, Lisa, for inviting me. I want to thank you both, as well as the board members, for the district's innovative approaches and long-term outlook on their take on water challenges in the complicated world of water resources. With that, I hope I've ingratiated myself enough to take 20 minutes of your time with this presentation. Engineers aren't known for their presentation skills, so I appreciate you bear with me. So obviously, these two, the two topics today are the Stormwater Credit Program and Chantilly Storm Drain. Start with the credit program. So before I go to the credit program, I want to touch on something that is analogous to the stormwater credit program, which is wetlands mitigation. I think most of you are probably familiar with that. Just to explain it briefly, on the upper left, you'll see a developer is building on their property the impact of wetland. Those are protected resources. This could be habitat mitigation too, similar scenario. A bank, a mitigation bank is constructed, developed and available for that credit to be purchased. And usually a regulating agency oversees the development of the bank and the purchases themselves for tracking. Very similar. A stormwater credit program set up a similar way. We develop these, what we call credit generators here on this slide on the far left, listed as regional stormwater capture system that generates credit. It's held in the bank. Developer comes in. They want to develop their project. They purchase that credit, and it goes back into our bank to either pay for maintenance or for new stormwater capture systems. So what is the credit for? It's not wetlands, I'll give you a hint, and it's kind of jumping out at you, the red. It's for pollutant capture. The reason we need to do that, there's a permit, stormwater permit, you may be familiar with it, called MPDS permit. It has many components. Those permits are issued to cities and counties throughout California. A component of that permit is called the New Development Program, and it requires a plan be developed called a WQMP. Some other areas it's called a, it's, it goes by other acronyms. I can't remember the North County acronym at the moment, but it requires the capture of those that stormwater and the associated pollutants. You either capture it and infiltrate it, or capture it and release it. In Anaheim, we have good soil, as you all well know, and we capture and infiltrate predominantly. Two such systems are shown in the photos below. And that's for larger projects. Smaller projects are a little more challenging. They're obviously smaller, what we call BMPs, or best management practices. I'm peppering you with acronyms, I apologize. And we have thousands throughout Anaheim. You can imagine there are tens of thousands throughout Orange County. They're expensive. They're expensive to design, to construct, to maintain. And if a property fails to maintain them, our code enforcement's obligated to go out once every 5 years, inspect them, and enforce on those that aren't maintained. So it's an ongoing burden. So that's the problem. We have, there are many solutions to this. One that we thought was the most powerful is a credit program. The analogy to in our credit program is, you know, rather than having, for example, in the upper left, septic tanks for every single home, we have a centralized treatment system, capture or collection and treatment system, POTW, public owned treatment work. We're sitting right next to one right now. Years ago, I think that picture's from the 60s, LA, that's LA, they used to use backyard incinerators. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense when obviously regional landfills are a better solution. And we're trying to do the same thing with stormwater. Rather than having thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of these distributed systems, it makes more sense to have them localized. So before I go, Andre, oh, you're right there, sorry. So we're going to play a video. You'll notice we have a guest star in the room in the video at the moment, so you'll see that in a second. I'll explain a little bit better.
Anaheim is a city of innovation. From our city's early founders to Walt Disney and the innovators of today, Anaheim is a place where the incredible happens. That spirit of innovation leads our work on behalf of those we serve. As a city, we are always looking at ways to make it easier to do business in Anaheim and protect our environment. One way we're doing that is through stormwater credits, an innovative approach that makes it easier to build homes for families, expand businesses, and create jobs, while also capturing, cleaning, and using water that otherwise would flow untreated out to the ocean.
That's what happens whenever it rains here at Majeska Park in West Anaheim. Right beneath our feet is a 14-foot tall chamber the size of a soccer field that captures rain and other water runoff from the nearby neighborhood. The water is filtered for dirt and debris before going into our region's groundwater supply for eventual use as drinking water. The Majeska Park capture site was a major investment by the City of Anaheim to help meet our regulatory obligation and environmental responsibility. Each year, here at Majeska, we capture enough water to serve up to 300 families. That's great for us and our environment.
Anaheim and all California cities are required to reduce trash and chemicals from stormwater before it reaches our streams, rivers, and ocean. In many cities, much of that burden falls on builders of homes, businesses, and other developments who have to add stormwater capture systems to their projects. Here in Anaheim, we have a better way. We operate sites that capture and filter large amounts of stormwater, which in turn generates credits that developers can buy. That eliminates the need for expensive stormwater capture systems at their projects, while still meeting basic stormwater protections as part of their developments. That's a win for our environment.
Here at this intersection in East Anaheim,
We're diverting and capturing stormwater that flows down the streets in this part of Anaheim Canyon, the industrial heart of our city. We're diverting water from a 53-acre area to a treatment system where trash and sediment is removed. Clean water then flows into a basin where it works its way into our groundwater. From this area, we divert and capture enough water to serve about 70 families per year. The intersection of La Palma and Richfield used to flood on a regular basis. It was one of the biggest problems in Anaheim. But with this diversion, that no longer happens, benefiting drivers, businesses, and the environment.
Stormwater credits are clearing the way for Anaheim to add more homes, which helps with the challenge of high rents and house prices. They also allow us to pursue projects to revitalize our neighborhoods. Across our city, we are working to redevelop parts of Anaheim, including Beach Boulevard, Brickhurst Street, State College Boulevard, and others. Stormwater credits will help us do that. And we have major projects and proposals underway around Honda Center and Disneyland that are set to bring more fun to Anaheim. And more importantly, revenue we will use for police, fire, parks, libraries, and other community services. So join us as we build on Anaheim's history of innovation with our storm water credits.
So for those online, hopefully, or coming in remotely, if you didn't hear the audio, sometimes it doesn't play, but if you couldn't hear it, that video is available if you just Google Anaheim stormwater or stormwater credits. So I hope those two, my presentation and the video in conjunction, explains what stormwater credits are. It's no easy road to hoe. This, you don't need to look at the detail here, but we started conceptualizing this in 2015. By the way, we're one of the first in the state to do this. So we're, you know, kind of on the bleeding edge. It's nice to be on the cutting edge. We went through a whole process with the regional board, took 3 years. We did get approval from them. City council approval, same year. We implemented a pilot phase from 2023 to 2024, and credits became available to the public in 2024. So not for the faint of heart. Oops. So to make this real, I think there was one picture, the left in the video. The one on the right gives you a little bit better idea of scale. This is our first credit generator. This is at Majeska Park. Captures about 150 acre feet per year. And roughly speaking, at least this project's about five times less expensive doing a regional project than it would be otherwise to do that same thing on site, on a private site. Our second credit generator and at the is at La Palma Richfield. We're very creative with our names. It happens to be at the intersection of La Palma and Richfield. What we did, we took the pink lines are the existing storm drain system running from the right, from the east heading west. That's a 21-inch pipe, but it came from, so on the far right, 48-inch pipe, 21-inch pipe on the left. Obviously, it's necking down. Storm drain shouldn't do that. So we utilized the north-south pipe, which never connected into Huckleberry, and we made that connection. You'll see the license agreement that we entered into with the water district in the lower left. And just to give you an idea of scale, the gentleman's looking at the outfall into Huckleberry Basin. So the first two projects, Majeska is the teal light blue color in West Anaheim. The dark black in what we call Anaheim Canyon that Natalie referenced in the narrow portion of Anaheim is the watershed for La Palma Richfield. And the green, the lime green, is for Chantilly Storm Drain, which is the one that I'll be talking about next. But should I pause for questions on, or wait till the end? Keep going. Okay. So Chantilly Storm Drain Project. So We have two credit generating facilities. We're actually building a third, which happens to be roughly the footprint of phase two, which you can see in the green. That's called the State College Tank Project. We're hoping Chantilly will be the fourth. It's a large watershed, 1,000 acres that flow. Do we have a point? Okay. So Chantilly storm drain, you can see the letters running up and down. It parallels the 57 freeway and outlets into what's called Chantilly Basin, but everyone here knows it as Ball Road Basin. That, of course, has been relinquished. And it didn't infiltrate substantially anyway. So the idea is to intercept that at the lower end of the Chantilly storm drain watershed and send it into Burris Basin, which has a pump station, can send it elsewhere, has the capacity to accept this flow, and makes a lot of sense to reroute that flow into Burris rather than sending it out to the ocean. Of course, 1,000 acre feet of new water is a substantial amount. If it's approximately $1,000 per acre foot, you're looking at $1 million of new water source each year. This gives you a little better depiction. The yellow would be the rerouting of Chantilly from roughly the 57 freeway down Wagner and into Burris Basin. So there's always benefits and challenges with any project. The benefit to us is we would generate more stormwater credit for our program. Of course, as a good neighbor, we're making for cleaner beaches by taking the pollutants out of the water before it heads down to the ocean. When you have more partners, you have more funding opportunity. We do have interest from Caltrans. We have OCTA funds that could become available. Orange County Flood is interested in participating. And of course, if the water district is too, that's terrific as well. Collaboration presents its own challenges. There's timing issues on funding and, you know, who's going to take the lead? That's kind of we have been having meetings. That's the biggest first question. Who's the lead agency? Right now, the finger's pointing at us, which is okay. And that was it. This last slide is the conclusion of Majeska Park. We put a pervious pavement on a parking lot that used to be a degraded asphalt parking lot. So apart from the water quality benefits, apart from the fact that we're taking water out of the storm drain, reducing flood control deficiencies, we're beautifying parks and being a good neighbor to those downstream. And I'll stop there for any questions.
Do we have any questions for our presenter?
Director Yeo has his hand raised.
Director Yeo.
Yes, thank you, President Bilodeau. And Mr. Lincoln, thank you very much for the great presentation. In your last slide, the previous one, you mentioned that potentially is the city working with Caltrans to secure some financial contribution in exchange for some, you know, selling Caltrans some of the credit? Is that something that you're pursuing?
We are. Caltrans, we had a meeting early this week on a different project, but it will play out to this project presumably the same way. There's two sources of funds. And both of them are related to, one is related to trash capture and the other is related to their version of what we call total maximum daily load. So they are definitely interested and we're pulling them into the conversation and actually we can't close the door and they want to walk through. Thank you for that question.
Great. Yeah, there should be some opportunity, especially the 57 freeway. I think it's a so-called trash hauling route. So, you know, there's significant trash generated in the area. And then by installing devices to capture that, you know, there is a lot of benefit in improving the stormwater quality. And also, you know, you don't just treat and discharge water. The water is actually going into beneficial reuse by recharging it into the groundwater basin. So I think it should be a very competitive project. You know, if you need some assistance in navigating the water in Caltrans, give me a holler. Okay, thank you.
Much appreciated.
Chief, That previous slide, it looked like it took you about 5 years to get your program developed and approved by the regional board. Do you have an approximate amount of money you spent during those 5 years to develop it and figure out the details of the program?
That's a great question. So I'd have to go back and look at invoices, but, you know, ballpark, probably $50,000 to $250,000 over the course of that time period. Yeah. Good question. So while I'm doing this, can you pull up the video again? Not play the video, but just the page that was on. So credit is measured in cubic feet. Not the video itself, just the web page that it came from. So it's measured in cubic feet. We determine the price per credit based on the cost of the project, both capital and O&M. That's it. Perfect. Yeah, fact sheet. And then that gives us our cost per credit. And then when you multiply out how many credits we have, so you can see the credit price there, it's $28 in the Santa Ana River watershed and $32 in the other one. And then here's the projects. So all told, it's about $6.5 million worth of credit. We've sold about 300,000 so far, and we expect some pretty big chunks of change to come in the near future. The one other thing I wanted to mention, Chantilly is generating, we mentioned, say $1 million a year of water coming into the system. Majeska generates 140 acre feet per year. Richfield, La Palma Richfield, 35 acre feet per year, for a total of $175,000 worth of water every year. So we're already doing that absent Chantilly moving forward. But of course, with more resources, we'll be able to do a lot more.
And I have a quick question, if I may, for Mr. Linker, is that do you have to go back to Regional Water Quality Control Board for every project, or you conceptually have discussed and they agreed to the level of credit that you would receive and made available to the public?
Yeah, that's a great question. So once we got approval, which obviously took some time, we went through that 1 year probationary period or pilot phase, and we met regularly with region board staff for them to see what we're doing, make sure it was moving forward as they expected. Right now, we're in permit negotiation, which should last another year. It's already been 2 years in process. A component of that has to do with their description of what the guardrails are for these types of programs. So within the next year, we hope that language will be finalized, the permit will be issued. If there's any changes that are required for our program, we'll have to implement them. But at this time, the draft language doesn't force us to make any changes whatsoever to our program.
Yeah, they're not the easiest to work with, huh? Yeah, no, it's comment. A very lengthy process, but it's worth it at the end. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Meeks.
I'm going to make a comment because people that may not be familiar with these things, the original idea from the Water Quality Board was these small captures that you saw pictures of and local properties, and they had to create a little low point on their property and the water would go in there and fill in. That has been pretty unsuccessful. They are impossible to regulate and make sure that people maintain them. They look terrible all the time. The plants die. They're just a mud hole. And then property owners don't know what they are and they concrete them in, you know? And then you got to go out 5 years later and go, no, that's supposed to be there. And so Anaheim's fortunate to have soil that will infiltrate, that can do these kind of projects and be really successful in them. And it's a great project. I mean, it's something that helps the environment. It's much more sustainable and it allows for, water to get back to our soil in a clean way. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Great. Director Sheldon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a few questions. you believe you said a few of the credits, not a few, more than a few of the credits have been sold. And who have been the buyers?
Yeah, it's been our utilities department so far.
So the utilities department bought it from the city.
Correct.
Have any no private sector?
Not yet.
And what credit was the utilities department buying it for?
So I think in each case it was actually the PFAS treatment plants.
What did the credit allow them to do?
Yeah, so there's really so it they don't have so when they develop that plan, that WQMP, they identify a volume of water that they need to capture and either treat and infiltrate or treat and release. So then they don't have to do that on site. So it saves them money, saves them time, saves on their project footprint. One of the particular areas that I think this has most benefit, you saw on the, you can pull the.
From the construction of the PFAS, I understand they need to treat the storm water. Is that what you're referring to? It's the storm water, not the PFAS water.
The drinking water, correct. Yes.
The storm water that they have to treat.
Correct.
And they aren't able to treat it and put it back into the storm drain. Right.
This replaces their need to do that.
So they were unable to do that with those projects.
There's sometimes physical constraints that make this much more attractive. Financially, it's a lot more attractive, generally speaking.
So did the water that was supposed to be treated to be clean to go in the storm drain, did it go in the storm drain dirty?
I don't know if I would say it exactly that way, but the regulations, you know, it's probably pretty clean. But in essence, we've already removed those pollutants in that centralized system so that we've offset their pollutant discharge at their location. So in effect, what you said is correct. But we've already done the benefit that they were required to do.
I understand that you in lieu of them, in lieu of the stormwater at the of that plant having its water cleaned, it was another water got cleaned. They got a credit for that, but then they released their water into the storm drain. So I'm trying to understand. At the end of the day, is it the same amount of water? Like, water that's ultimately being put into the storm drain that's dirty, or is it more being cleaned? Like, how does that balance out? Because
you're still
getting dirty water, and I'm not saying that in a necessarily pejorative way. Say water unprocessed. How about if that might be better?
Great question. There's two answers to that. Number one, they still needed to develop a water quality management plan. A component of that are called non-structural treatment. So they still have to sweep their site. They still have to take the trash out.
That's good.
Of the pollutants, right? So, and they have to design it in a way that they've minimized the impervious footprint. So really what was there before, their new project actually more than likely has cleaner water already on day one. But because this program is related to new development and what they call significant redevelopment, when a project takes out an existing development and puts in new development, that's redevelopment. It's assumed to be a brand new site. So they're assuming it was clean to begin with, and any pollutants that you put in are additional. So really that's a win-win because the new project has less and they're offsetting for the full amount, if that makes sense.
I have a lot of follow-up questions, but do you see any private sector entities utilizing these credits?
Absolutely. I expect... already spoke with one today on the phone, and we expect two applications coming next week for some fairly large.
I think you showed a picture of OC Vibe. Are they involved or paying for any of this? Or
they have not submitted any applications yet, but we are in discussion.
They have to the amount of impermeable area at the pond is not going to change very much. It's all pretty much asphalt and rooftop. Why isn't that being treated right now?
Not presently.
So
when the impervious surface is removed, you're starting from scratch. So when that impervious surface is returned as part of the redevelopment project, then that redevelopment project is on the hook for addressing their new pollutants.
When the pond was constructed, there was no MS4 permit or requirement to clean the stormwater?
about the original construction now.
Interesting. I mean, there's a lot of. I know that we were receiving water from the 57 freeway onto our the basin that we sold, right? And our attorneys could never find a permit for them to put the water in that basin. Is what I recall them telling us. Joel telling us that. Is there a permit for the 57 freeway in other areas, or why does the state of California have to pay now? Is that because there's no permits for the water runoff? Well, I look at you. Maybe both, they have an answer. Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure we have to look at that individually. I mean,
offhand, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I don't know offhand.
If you know offhand, because they're a partner to pay for this?
So potentially they'd be a partner. Yeah, they're obligated to, you know, effectively retroactively clean up the stormwater from the past.
Okay. And then finally, when it's rained real hard, do your sewer systems get affected by that? And have you been fined, or are you facing any fines for that?
We have no record of any what we call INI, inflow and infiltration related events for sewer spills.
But you're not facing any fines from any regulatory. Okay. Thank you. I think it's exciting. I mean, it's very, very interesting and program.
Thank you.
That was stormwater today on the phone for an hour.
There you go. I have a question, and this is a very innovative program. I think it's great. You mentioned that the one project you've done involved the PFAS treatment plant, which I believe OCWD paid for. So did OCWD, in fact, pay the $300,000? Was that part of the project cost?
It is part of the project cost. I can't answer that question, though.
I mean, I don't know if that was part of the deal or not. If
find out, the total amount was around $117 million. Find out.
Okay, just curious. So we're indirectly involved, I guess, or maybe kind of more directly involved. Well, this is a great project, and I think it's very innovative, and hopefully it's going to be emulated across the county.
Bring this back to Water Issues Committee next week. See if the board wants to hire a consultant where we could explore, do we want to try to develop a program like this? Talk about that next week. And then regarding Chantilly, we'll keep working with the city, to develop a program and partner with the city and Caltrans on the Chantilly.
One more question is, have they considered putting any of the stormwater into the sewer system?
I don't think they'd accept it.
Yeah, the sanitation district has to say there. The sanitation district is really guarded on what water they'll allow into the sewer system. Now, they will allow up to 10 MGD. Right now, they've allowed about 3 MGD. There's some headroom to allow, but it's more urban runoff that the sanitation district wants, like storm flows coming into this.
Isn't that the same thing, urban runoff and storm? I mean, well, one's a heavier time of day, but...
Well, urban runoff, when I say that, I mean like kind of year-round in the summer, urban runoff.
Like nuisance flows.
First rain is always, the first flush is always the dirtiest, but then after
they
that...
They do not like allowing storm flows to come into their system. It really stresses their system.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, where'd Keith go? Oh, there you are. I'm sorry. I like, where'd he go? Well, thank you very much, sir, for your presentation.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. And look forward to further discussions on, obviously, if we're going to assist them in relocating the Chantilly storm drain into our basin as opposed to the basin we sold to H&S Ventures, that's a decision we have to make here if we're going to allow for that. So, okay. Great. Well, thank you very much. That brings us to item number 6, which is the SOPA update. I did participate in the SOPA meeting. The agenda is in the packet, and we, in fact, did pass the budget, which was the big item on the agenda, and Mr. Kennedy was participating as well in that meeting. That brings us to item number 7, which is committee conference meeting reports. Are there any reports on committees, conferences, meetings attended at district expense in which a quorum of the board was present by any directors? Seeing or hearing none. That brings us to verbal reports. President's report. I have no report tonight. And that'll bring us to the general manager's report.
One thing, Mr. President, I wanted to congratulate our public affairs team. We found out today that we received 2 awards at the California Association of Public Information Officers. CAPIO is the acronym. They're having their annual conference right now. We won the EPIC Award for our new GWS video that's tailored for students. Sarah managed that and gets a lot of the credit for that. Then we also won an award of distinction for our Prado Bald Eagle campaign. Had a lot of hits, and we did a video of the eagles behind Prado. And that's thank you for that for Meta, Crystal, and the Natural Resources team. So we heard there was more than 500 award submissions, and we were among the few that actually got recognized.
Fantastic.
Again for the public.
Nice.
Very nice. Any other reports, John? Great. Are there any directors' reports? Yes, sir.
Yes, on last Friday, I see Director Fizzler from Mesa Water. They had a dedication ceremony for their education center. Really innovative, and they really took a nice look at our water basin and what they do at Mesa Water. They incorporated some stuff here that we do at OCWD. So I just encourage some of our directors to get a look at what they did over there. But it was really neat, and it's geared toward fifth graders, but it can really be turned on for any type of level of education. It's good for a recruitment tool for those getting involved in the water industry. So maybe we can emulate some of those ideas that they have there over here for GWRS or some of our other future stuff. So it was a really neat program. So I hope you guys get a chance to check it out.
Great. Any other director's reports? Seeing none online. That'll bring us to the general counsel report.
Nothing to report, Mr. President, and no closed sessions this evening.
Oh, fantastic. With that, the meeting is adjourned.